I love David Wilcox. Last year, we had such a good time talking about those mystics. We spent the whole year exploring different mystics, and we got to know Emerson and Julian of Norwich and Thich Nhat Hanh in ways that we didn't know before. Now we're into a year where the series is going to be One Humanity, Many Stories. And if you know anything about me, you know that I love stories. I think the universe is made of stories, and I just think they're the best. They inspire us, they orient us, they remind us of where we've been and where we're going and who we are now. And you know they have a lot of power. Sometimes we tell stories that are not helpful. You know, growing up in the religious community I grew up in, we were told that we were going to heaven and a whole bunch of other people weren't. And a whole bunch of other people. Exclusive, superior, and those kinds of things can do damage. It took me a long time, a lot of work, years and lots of tears to overcome that and to struggle and wrestle to find the stories like that David Wilcox song, right? Where he's like, it's okay. It's okay. You're not going to go to heaven and everybody else is excluded. It's like I had to struggle to find those stories that lifted up radical equality, mutuality, respect, grace. If they're to orient us and challenge us and give us hope, if they're to remind us who we are truly, we have to find the right stories. And we have to have an open and hungry spirit. Oh God, as I engage this story, open my heart that I might learn what you are trying to teach me. Now, as I thought about this very first sermon, mid-January, the very first time I have an opportunity to share one of these stories that we'll be exploring, I thought long and hard, what do I want to share with you? And I came up with a story I love, a favorite story. And that's the story of Muhammad, the prophet of God, going to heaven to have a little talk with God. Here's the story. One night in the city of Mecca, when the prophet Muhammad was in a deep sleep, the angel Gabriel awakens him. He takes him to a winged horse and they fly into the night, arriving in Jerusalem at the present day Dome of the Rock. Standing there are Abraham, Jesus, Moses, John the Baptist, some others. They pray together. The angel then takes him on a night journey to the seven heavens. He sees the angel praying. He meets the prophet again. He sees paradise. And finally, Gabriel takes him to the highest heaven. And angel Gabriel says to Muhammad, I can't go with you anymore. If I go any closer, my wings will burn. You go on ahead. Muhammad proceeds and finds himself in the presence of God. They have a conversation. This night journey and meeting with God is like known to all the Muslim children in the world. And they have this conversation, and God tells Muhammad that he and his followers should pray 50 times a day. So Muhammad leaves, goes back down, and he runs into Moses. And Moses is like, what's up? Tell me about that meeting. How did it go? And Muhammad's like, well, we're supposed to pray 50 times. No one's ever going to be able to pray 50 times a day. Go back and request God to reduce the number. So the prophet Muhammad goes back and God says, okay, fine, 40. So he comes back down. He runs into Moses again. What did God say? 40 prayers a day. No. No. This will not do. Your people won't be able to comply. Mine couldn't, yours won't. Prophet Muhammad goes back. God reduces the number to 30. Moses sends it back again. 20, 10. Finally, God says, 5 times, Muhammad. Goes and sees Moses. Go back, Moses says. Even 5 will be too much. And Muhammad's like, I'm not going back. I was like, no more. That's it. So 5 it was, and 5 it remains to this day. That's the first story I wanted to tell you. Right? I love this story. First, I love what it says about God. And second, I love what it says about us. Let's start with God. God is understood in this story as a participant in a larger creative process, so that God influences and is influenced by others. God is understood to participate in development through intercourse with a changing world and is seen as subordinate to the larger creative process. God's power to create change in the world is persuasive rather than coercive and exercised within the limits of this creativity. We are all bound up in a network of creativity. God, in other words, is truly co-creating with us. Every day, every moment, the world is made anew. Every moment is a chance to start again. Every morning, the world is a new creation, and we and the divine are working together to see what's possible. And the hope and the beauty is that the divine meets us right where we are, fashioning a life together, this beautiful combination of the divine and the human, where one begins and the other ends is anyone's guess. You see, in traditional theology, God could have said 50 times a day or nothing. Or God could have said, well, I know we're eventually going to get to 5, so why don't we just start and end there, right? Everything is preordained. God is all-powerful and all-knowing and all this and all that, but that's not the story we're telling here. We're dealing with a God who can change, who can meet us where we are, who is influenced and who influences for the good of all. It's a very liberating idea. I love what this says about God, because it says God is right here with us in the messiness, in the mix. And I love what it says about humanity. Muhammad's just figuring it out. How often shall my people pray? What will our days look like? What will our rituals look like? Where are we headed? And what's at stake? And how shall we get there? Will we pray 50 times a day, 100, once? How will this work? To find out, he goes on a journey, accompanied by an angel who is his guide. The angel shows him around, takes him through the levels of the heavens. And what happens? He sees Moses, he sees John, he sees Jesus, Abraham, all of them, cheering them on, cheering him on. All of them there for him. And what do they do? What do? They pray together. They pray together. The prophets and the icons of the Jewish and Christian faith supporting and standing with and praying with this Muhammad. This is your journey, I can hear them say. This is your path. We are here for you. Let us pray together that you might find your way and know that you are not alone in this world. Feels good to be in prayer together, to pray for one another. It's healing and it's empowering, and it makes the loneliness of this old world go away just a bit. Jesus and John and Moses befriend Muhammad, pray for him in a sign of mutuality and respect. Friendship is one of the great images of what the kingdom of God, what the beloved community of God looks like. Dr. King used to go around saying all the time, we're caught up in a network of mutuality. We're caught up in a network of creativity, and we're caught up in a network of mutuality. And Muhammad wants to do the right thing. When God tells Muhammad that his people should pray 50 times a day, he's willing to go there. He's willing to give it a shot. I can do this. But what happens? He sees Moses. Moses says, it's good to see you again. What a journey you must have had. Tell me, what happened? 50 times a day. Nope. Moses is his mentor, his guide, his teacher. Who among us, when we are on a deep spiritual journey, does not need a mentor, a spiritual friend, a guide? And at some point, Muhammad says, that's it. We're done. I'm not going back anymore, right? Moses is his helper, and Muhammad is open to his guidance. But at the end of the day, it's Muhammad's power and agency that says, enough, we're done. 5 times a day. That's it. Why I love this story, part 2. When we are new to faith, we want to do everything we can. We want to pray 50 times a day. We want to read every single book. We want to hear every single teaching. Maybe to please God, maybe to try to understand what this whole business of faith is about, maybe to experience the spiritual high that we've felt when we're connected to the divine, maybe to show that we're serious, maybe to like get caught in that trap of thinking that spirituality is a competitive sport. It is not. But soon we discover that we can't pray 50 times a day and that 5 is enough. We can't read every teacher's book. We can't go to every workshop. We can't live in the yoga studio. Early on, it said, the monks, when they established the monastic life, had to sit down and discuss, how often shall we pray together and take the Eucharist together? They feared that it would be such a beautiful experience that they'd want to do it all the time. And so they thought through their day and the fact that they had to eat and they had to do maintenance and they had to sit in their rooms in quiet contemplation. And they said, we will do it 7 times a day. Pray and be together. We will limit it so that we're not tempted to do it all the time. This story is all about balance. Yes, pray 5 times a day and come to it with great intention and go deep into the experience. And that will be as though you prayed 50 times. Be fully present in those moments. But what we're after is not the prayer. It's not the form. It's the connection. It's the wisdom. It's the being fully alive. We are here to come fully to life. The forms can take us so far, but it's passion that we seek and passion that will take us to the highest heavens. One time I was at Howard Divinity School in Washington. I was in seminary at Wesley, but we had to take classes at other seminaries. So I was at Howard, and I was the only white kid in this class, world religions. And this African teacher was talking about world religions, and he came out one day and he said, love the water more and the vessel less. He was saying, don't get wrapped up in the forms. Pray 5 times a day, pray 7 times a day, whatever it works for you. But what you're after is the water. What you're after is the life. One day, Abbot Lot came to Abbot Joseph and said, Father, to the best of my ability, I keep my rule. I keep my little fast. I keep my prayer and my meditation and my silence. And to the best of my ability, I work to cleanse my heart. What more shall I do? What more shall I do? The elder rose up in reply, stretched out his hands to the heavens, and his fingers became like 10 lamps of fire. And he said, "Why not be utterly changed to fire?" Passion. You can pray 50 times a day. You can pray 5 times a day. But when you pray, go deep into the experience to know it is not your efforts. You're not doing this to show that you are worthy. You're already worthy. You're already worthy. But to rest in the wonder and amazement of grace and mercy and beauty and awe. And what is it that helps get us to that passion? What delivers us to that place where we turn to fire? Here is how the beautiful poet Mary Oliver, who died this week, put it in one of her most famous poems. She says, "You just have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves." Wild geese. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. You don't have to pray 50 times a day. You don't have to walk across the desert on your knees repenting. You have to let love take over. And you don't have to focus on the forms. You just have to turn to fire. And just know, the whole time, on your journey, there are people on the sidelines. Jesus, Moses, Buddha, Mary, Goddess, whoever, cheering you on, praying for you. Linda Anthony, Richard Anthony, Connie Castro. Shall I go on? Roger Butts. Cheering you on. As Jesus and John and Abraham and Moses cheered on Muhammad, there isn't anything you have to do. You just walk the journey in love and grace.